You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. When it comes to choosing a therapist, there's a lot to consider. Maybe it's how close they are to where you live, or maybe cost is the biggest factor. And then there's just that something else, that feeling that this person understands you. But finding a person like that can be hard, especially for African Americans. Nationwide, only 5% of therapists are Black. So why is that, and why does it matter? Continuing our look into race and mental health care, KALW's Leela Day brings us the story.
Cedric Jackson is training to become a clinical psychologist.
So in Dibonish, call me, where you been? Huh? I haven't seen you.
At the Pacific Institute of Age Song, a residential home for elders, he greets everyone with a smile. His long dreadlocks swing back and forth as he maneuvers through the hallways.
Hey, buddy. I haven't forgotten about you.
Everyone seems drawn to him. Jackson is a rare person, an African-American clinically trained psychologist. Nationwide, they're about 5% of the workforce. Jackson thinks there's a simple reason behind these low numbers.
I know that there's not more Black therapists because they can't afford to become therapists. This whole year that I'm working right now, this is a 40-hour-a-week gig for free.
It's been 6 years and over $200,000 to work up to getting his PhD. Now he works with the elders here in an unpaid residency. That's out of reach for many Black people who don't have the resources to take on that much debt. But Jackson says when it comes to finding employment after his degree, his race may be to his advantage.
Well, because there's such a lack of Black clinicians, I actually have a lot of things that I can do.
Things like clinical testing for mental illnesses. And Jackson says when it comes to one-on-one work, race can play a big part in people's preferences.
I fancy myself as a people person and able to deal with anybody, but a Chinese person is not going to be as comfortable with me, or a Hispanic person is not going to be as comfortable with me as somebody who can speak their language, somebody who has lived and shared their customs. And I think it's the same with Black people.
And there may be some truth to that. The National Association of Black Social Workers found that African Americans experience better treatment results when paired with clinicians of similar race and background. In Alameda County, low-income African Americans with serious mental illness receive about 40% of all the mental health care services that the county provides. There's a need for Black clinicians, but there just aren't that many to pair.
The majority of the patients or clients being seen are African American. So it's very interesting that the consumers are predominantly African American or people of color, but the providers are predominantly white.
A lot of people have tried to help solve this problem, like Dr. Theopia Jackson.
I'm a licensed clinical psychologist.
Dr. Jackson, no relation to Cedric, is a psychologist at UCSF Benioff Children's Hospital. She's also the chapter president for the Association of Black Psychologists. She thinks there's been a lot of positive programs to educate non-Black therapists about how to best work with populations that aren't like theirs. But stereotypes and stigmas have some deep roots.
Earlier on, people would say that, let's say for example, Black folks are loud and more boisterous and there's something wrong with that.
She says back in the 50s, a white therapist might see the boisterous Black person as a little unstable. Jackson says a Black therapist might see it differently.
Well, what we know to be true, if we go back and understand our history, there's a rhythm to us that we do sort of speak in this colorful way and we move through the world. And so that gave a different interpretation for a behavior that we're seeing here.
This transition to incorporate training for therapists to be more racially aware started back in the 1980s. It was called cultural competency. And it was all about learning to recognize that normal behavior isn't uniform.
We used to compare Black groups to white groups, and whenever there was a difference, we would say that the difference is because there's something wrong with the Black group. That was our early psychology. So we had a lot of theory and a lot of practice around deprivation, if you will.
California made it a mandatory training, hoping it would help bridge the racial healthcare gap. But Black Americans still have the worst healthcare outcomes when compared to other races. And traditional tools aren't always appropriate. Dr. Jackson gives the example of a simple breathing exercise that a therapist might initiate.
We have to be careful about when we ask clients to close their eyes. Because by definition, in many inner cities across the United States, there's a high prevalence of community violence. So to close your eyes is not safe.
She says instead, she'd probably skip the closing of the eyes and just focus on the breathing. There are other layers of complexity here too. I ask Jackson if she's ever had patients not want to see her because she's a Black therapist. And she says it hasn't happened to her, but it does happen.
Somehow along the way, there's this storiedness, as I said before, that to be Black is to be less than. And so some way it got conveyed that even when it comes to things like, you know, your medical treatment, that somehow you're going to get a better treatment from someone who's white because they're supposed to know more than a Black physician does. So I hear it more in that way, mm-hmm. and that's how I understand it.
But much of what it comes down to with therapy is who you click with. And sometimes those feelings have to do with race, too.
Surprisingly, I didn't necessarily want a Black therapist. I think maybe I wanted an outside perspective.
Danielle Taylor grew up in a mostly African-American neighborhood in East Oakland and struggled with the idea of going to therapy. Her family didn't talk about mental health. She thought maybe a white therapist would bring something different.
I thought, well, maybe a Black person can want to make excuses for Black people. I just wanted a good therapist. Something about it scared me, about being, you know, with a Black woman being like, well, these are your problems. I don't know. I felt like too familial in a way that I was actively trying to work through family dynamics or the culture of my family and how power is expressed in my family. I guess it felt too close.
So for Taylor, more distance from her personal experience was more helpful. And the therapist she found understood that there might be challenges.
One of the first things she said was that you're a Black woman and I'm a white woman. So because of that, there's maybe some work that I have to do that's different than the work that you have to do. Some of the things that you express and that you're dealing with will be things that I don't understand or that I haven't experienced, but I'm going to try my best to be able to help you navigate through them. And so just her recognizing that, I was like, boom, okay, so I can be comfortable talking about Blackness and knowing that it's something that you clearly are aware of and think about.
Of course, there's no guarantee that a therapist will be culturally aware, empathetic, and engaging. But acknowledging those cultural gaps is one place to start. For Cross Currents, I'm Leela Day.